Morning. Since Advent is a time of preparation, since John the Baptist is associated with preparing the way of the Lord, he's always been one of the major Advent figures. Here in this cycle from Matthew's Gospel, we probably get the clearest picture of who John was, what he sounded like out there in the desert. Mark, as usual, doesn't say very much about John's preaching. He's there, he's preaching, he baptizes Jesus, and it's all over in a couple of verses. John turns the Baptist into a witness. He doesn't have very much baptizing to do at all, although that's alluded to a couple of times, but mostly he's pointing out Jesus, witnessing, there is the Lamb of God. And Luke softens his message, as Luke frequently does, and he has some social justice tenor to it, as Luke frequently does. So John doesn't come off as all that an unreasonable guy when you read the preaching from Luke. But when you read the preaching of John the Baptist from Matthew, as we just did, that's the whole of it, he comes across a bit scary, doesn't he? Sharp, edgy, angular, wearing a leather belt around his waist, clothing of camel's hair, eating locusts and wild honey. A bit of a wild man, preaching repentance and calling the established religious leaders of the day a brood of vipers, and promising that the one after him has his winnowing fan in his hand and will baptize them with fire. Sort of a scary guy. Very strong. Very sharp-edged. Is that Advent? Thought Advent was a time of peace, time of serenity, a time of anticipated joy. Well, I think it is. But maybe it's more complicated than that. You want to get the two feelings together. Go out to the Baltimore Museum of Art. Go into the sculpture garden. If you go in by the south entrance, there's this big wall. And towards the end of that wall is a sculpture a little bit larger than life of John the Baptist. Very modern, very strong, very forceful, very angular, sharp, edgy. Stand there and look at it. Walk up close, you know, and get a good look at how it's put together and what it's made of and all that stuff. But then back off a distance and look at it from 10 or 15 feet away. And you can practically hear John the Baptist howling in the desert. And then turn around. Because if you backed up in the right direction, when you turn around, you're only a few feet away from another sculpture of the Visitation. John is in this one too, although you can't see him. The sculpture is of Elizabeth. Very pregnant with John. Old lady, short lady. The obvious time of this is that Mary has just spoken and John is kicked. Her hands have come up off her belly and her head is beginning to come up. That's suffused with the traditional joy and serenity that we associate with Advent. The two, I think, are put together quite deliberately in the garden, where you can stand at one spot and look from one to the other and know that both of them are a part of Advent. Advent is about the coming of the kingdom, not just about the birth of Christ at Christmas that we remember fondly. But even that, we have to remember that he came in order to minister among us, in order to be crucified, in order to be raised. Wasn't all sweetness and light. even on Christmas morning. And the coming of the fullness of the kingdom will not come easily. We're talking about a fairly entrenched world that is quite used to its theology of selfishness, power, and greed. It will not give up without a fight. There is a strong need for the strength of John, the angularity of John, the sharpness of John, saying, "You brood of vipers," to our whole contemporary society. It's a part of Advent. It's not perhaps the dominant part. Perhaps Elizabeth is a little more characteristic of the dominant part. But both are necessary. Both are necessary in our own lives if we are really to embrace the light. If we get so caught up in the sharpness, the stridency of John, that we leave no room for the serenity and the joy, we become very bitter, very harsh, very unappealing. We may accomplish a certain amount in the short run, because we will try to strike a great deal of fear into the hearts of our opponents. But we won't accomplish very much in the long run, because we won't attract very many people to follow our way of life and take it up after we've gone. The angularity is necessary, but it's not sufficient. Conversely, the serenity and joy is absolutely necessary. It is perhaps most what Advent is about. We got a good parking space over on the side there. Number one seat. You want it. Part of our philosophy, number one seat is always available. The serenity and joy Elizabeth presents is also a necessary part of Advent. It's a part that concentrates not so much on the struggle that we need to go through to get to the kingdom, but what is the characteristic of the kingdom to which we are proceeding? What is it that we're trying to accomplish? Who is it that we're trying to be? What is it that we're trying to become? The light that we see, the light of Christ. This is really fairly sophisticated, fairly complicated phenomenon. It's rarely one or the other. It's usually both and. And embracing the light is like that. We need to do it in our own lives. And we need to do it in our own community. Just as everybody needs a certain balance of John and Elizabeth in their own approach to Advent, the community as a whole needs the same. Some of us will be slightly better at being John. We will be leaders in social justice. We will be a voice crying in the desert. We will be strong. We will be angular. We will be scary. People need to accept that and welcome those folks into the community as a very necessary part of who we are. Others of us will be better at modeling the joy and the serenity, the peace that we seek. And just as they're likely to be a little scared by the John the Baptizer types, the John the Baptizer types are tempted to write them off as not really contributing. But they too are just as necessary to who we are as a people. They provide our base, provide our balance, they provide our vision, the goal towards which we're tending. Embracing the light, whether individually or as a community, it's a very complicated process. But you can feel it in a text like this, compared with a text like the Annunciation or the Visitation. You can feel it just by going out to the museum, spending a little time looking back and forth between those two sculptures. The scary angularity of John, the peaceful serenity of Elizabeth. Both are a part of the light that we need to see, that we need to embrace, that we need to pass on.